Chapter 28. Nelson's first impulse, when he had seen his grandson vanish in the belly of the disappeared Traverser on that warm world 700,000 steps west, had been to call on Lobsang's help. His son Sam and the other fishermen had immediately struck out for the nearest land, a verdant but uninhabited island. Here there was food and water and fuel for fires. Here, Sam said, after conferring with his fellows, they would wait for the return of the Traverser with their families. What else could they do? But Nelson knew there was little hope of the situation simply resolving itself. Whatever new phenomenon the Long Earth was now displaying was far greater in scale than the human. And to deal with it, he needed the help of an entity greater than the human. So he had recalled his twain and headed straight back to the Low Earths. Once back home, Nelson had learned that his own experience in that remote footprint of the Tasman Sea was part of a wider phenomenon. With the help of online resources and buddies, including his old friends the Quizmasters, he'd discovered that his own Traverser, 700,000 steps out, had not been unique in its disappearance. Traversers had always been able to step, of course, from one world to the next, but now they were disappearing altogether, along with whatever freight of life they carried. As authenticated by various bewildered observers on several far separated worlds. Where were they going? How did they travel? And why now? Nobody had any answers. But of course it wasn't the issue of the Traversers itself that Nelson cared about. It was Troy, lost in the belly of the vanished beast. Troy, his grandson, found and lost in a matter of weeks. And Sam, Nelson's son, abandoned too, left adrift on that island close to the footprint of New Zealand with the rest of the tiny fishing fleet. Only Lobsang could help, but Lobsang had disappeared. Eventually, he learned that Lobsang was in a virtual reality, a refuge, itself locked inside a kind of corporate firewall. As Nelson battered feebly against this barrier, a butterfly against a window, he got to know Selena Jones at Trans-Earth, Lobsang's gatekeeper, rather too well. In the end, it was not until December 2070 that he got the break he needed, when he attended the funeral of Sister Agnes at the home at Madison West 5. This was a strange, eerie affair. Nelson gave a eulogy and helped carry a coffin that felt peculiarly heavy. The hymn being sung had been "Morning Has Broken," with a discarded ambulant unit of Lobsang's playing the Rick Wakeman piano accompaniment, and pretty soulfully too. And it was at the funeral that he met Ben Abrahams, née Ogilvy, Ben, the adopted son of Agnes and of Lobsang. Ben had helped Lobsang hide away and now agreed to help Nelson find him. But he warned Nelson, it would mean undertaking a journey even stranger yet.